Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. And today I'm excited to have back on the show our automotive correspondent brother, Johan Schnell. Johan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and you had a pretty big surgery. How are you doing?
I'm finally in a happy spot. The doctor cleared me to be able to go back to normal activities without being too crazy. So I'm good. It was hard being cooped up, that's for sure.
Are you capable of going back to normal activities without being too crazy?
Versus not being able to do anything? Yes.
All right, listen, I'm so excited to be chatting with you about the all-new Ford Bronco. And as soon as this was launched, I was like, all right, we have to get him on. And just to be clear with everybody, we haven't driven this thing yet. You know, in the past, with Johan, we've actually kind of gone over some specs and done a test drive. We might do a test drive at some point soon, but this thing is so brand new yet, we have not driven it. But Johan's going to kind of like walk us through the specs, talk about what it's capable of towing, and also we have some fun information on the Ford Bronco, the original Ford Bronco at the end of the show that I did a little bit of research on. So before we dive in and Johan gives us the breakdown, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you're an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comforts of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 75 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. And you just need to remember, it's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone Park. Visit jellystoneparks.com for more information. So the Bronco's back, baby. Are you excited?
It's back. Very excited. It's awesome. I think Ford did a good job.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it looks good. I was worried. Honestly, I was worried when I was looking at some of the those leaked pictures. It looked like it was going to be a watered-down version of what they had been teasing for, it feels like, a decade. So I'm glad. It's cool. Jeremy, one promise is I'm not going to buy a vehicle for an RV Atlas episode again. That was a last year thing.
To refresh everybody, Johan got the Jeep Commander just to review it for us. We'll get a little update on that for you. The Gladiator. We'll get an update on that a little bit later and see how that's going for you. I agree with you. When the photos came out, the leaked photos looked a little bland. And a lot of people just said like, oh, there's nothing that exciting going on here. But then when they did the full reveal, it did seem like they nailed that look. Would you agree?
For sure. And in particularly the not the sport, but the regular version, the two-door. I mean, they made it look like the Scout. It's pretty cool.
Very cool looking. So let's get into some basic specs here. I mean, this is why we have you on the show, because you know this stuff. You love this stuff. Give us some of the details on the engines, the trim levels, all of that stuff.
Great. So the way to think about the Bronco, because it's a little bit different than the ones that we grew up with, but the new Bronco is more along the lines of a mid-sized SUV, mid-sized truck. That's the chassis that Ford is building this on, as opposed to, you know, back in our day when we had the Ford Bronco, used to be kind of on the F-150 chassis. And so let's think about it in that aspect. In for current day, the Jeep Wrangler is really the target that Ford put when building the Bronco. And so the Bronco, let's talk about the regular Bronco first, and then we'll do the Bronco Sport. But the Bronco itself comes in with two engines. Both are going to be turbocharged. Both are the EcoBoost. One is going to be a four-cylinder, and one is going to be the V6. The four-cylinder is not going to be a slouch at all, with 270 horsepower and 310 foot-pounds of torque. I mean, that's a healthy, that's more power than the current Jeep Wrangler's V6 has. So this four-cylinder is not a slouch. And it's the same one that they're using in the Ranger now. There might be some tweaks, but it's basically on the Ranger platform with the Ranger four-cylinder. But what's really cool of the two engines is that where the Ranger does not get the 2.7 V6, the Bronco is going to get it. And I think that's going to be a fun vehicle to drive around in, because that one's going to have around 310 horsepower and 400 foot-pounds of torque. So that one's going to be a hot rod, really, for the size and weight and kind of open ear feeling. That having that 2.7 liter V6 is going to be a lot of fun.
Now, is that that engine an upgrade available on all the trim levels? Like, how much more is that engine? Is it only for certain trims?
So the four cylinder will come on every single trim, but the 2.7 is an option on all the trims until you get to the very last one. The most expensive trim only brings the 2.7 liter V6. And for people that are out there that are car and truck people, the 2.7 V6 has been tried and true already. It's the one of the engine options that's in the F-150. And if you follow trucks, the F-150 with the 2.7 is technically a baby EcoBoost, because the high-end towing monster 3.5, this 2.7 is actually faster. So most F-150s with the 2.7 are faster 0 to 60 than they are with the 3.5, actually. So this thing is going to be really fun in a small platform like the Bronco.
I'm picturing this being pretty fast behind the wheel. I mean, forget towing for a second, but just taking this out and having some fun in this thing.
This is going to be a fun car, either the four cylinder or the V6. And I think one of the other things that they did that was really cool is the manual transmission is an option on all of them except for the very top end model. So the top end model is called the Wildtrak. And that one only comes with the 2.7, and the 2.7 only comes in the auto. But the manual transmission is standard with the four cylinder in every trim level except for the Wildtrak. And I think that's very cool, because having a car that is this much, that is so much about open air feeling and driving feeling and being out on trails, being out on the beach and doing fun stuff. Having the option to have a manual transmission, I think, is super important. And so I think Ford nailed it by giving everybody that option to having a manual transmission.
It seems like maybe if they didn't do it, it would have been a disappointment to some of the purists out there that were really had high hopes for this vehicle. It seems almost like they had to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy. I think they had to, especially because the Jeep still comes with a manual too. So how Ford one-upped it, the Jeep, is that they actually, they call it a 7-speed, but it's a 6-speed with one crawler gear. So if you're into off-roading, you can put it into that first crawler gear, and you don't have to worry about shifting or clutching or anything. That crawl gear is going to really get you through a lot of crazy stuff.
You keep referencing the Jeep, and of course, I mean, it's the obvious competitor here, and it's what they're going after. And it makes all the sense in the world that Ford wants to compete with the Jeep, because Jeeps are everywhere. I mean, this summer, we've been going to the beach a lot, you know, everywhere in our travels. I just cannot believe the number of Jeeps on the road. So it's almost shocking that it took Ford this long to come up with a competitor to the Jeep.
Yeah, and if you follow Fiat, Chrysler, Auger, Jeep is really their top selling brand, and the Jeep Wrangler and the Gladiator are their top selling cars. And when you go to a campground, I now see Jeeps in a different light. And going to campgrounds and seeing motorhomes and tow behinds, I mean, Jeeps are super popular in there too. So Ford coming bringing back out a sport truck like this. makes all the sense.
Do you think this vehicle has what it takes to compete directly with the iconic Jeep?
I think they actually did and slightly one-upped it, which is great for us. Like a lot of my friends were like, "Oh, what do you think about it?" Because you know they know I love my Jeep, but I'm a car guy. So Ford, Jeep, whatever. If they make a cool, whatever manufacturer makes theirs makes a cool car that's fun for its market, for its consumer, then I'm all for it. And so I think they did a good job because they didn't go necessarily to copy the Jeep. It seems that way based on specs, but they went out and they made the new version of their Bronco, which is really has always been kind of in the Jeep segment. And they did it their own way with their independent front suspension. If they really wanted to copy Jeep, they could have done a solid front axle, but they did with an independent front suspension. So they're trying to one up it there. In factory, it's going to come with bigger tires than most Jeeps do. It definitely will probably have a more premium feel with the different tech options that are available than the Jeep does now. So I think they definitely went after Jeep and then some by putting some more tech into it.
Well, let's talk about some of the trim levels. I mean, it's like you have to have almost like a PhD to remember all this stuff. I mean, I was looking at the website beforehand, and there's six different trim levels.
Yeah, it's definitely wild. So to kind of keep it somewhat simple, is the six trim levels kind of, and it's been to and for someone out there, they're probably going to comment on this. There's really seven, but the seventh is that launch edition, that first edition, and it's already sold out. So you can't order it anymore. So I'm calling it six because those are going to be the trim levels that are going to be all the time. And so it starts out with the base, and then it goes all the way to the wild track. And they do mirror what Jeep does. In the way to think about the six of them is that they go from a level of like the bare bones Bronco to the fully tricked out with all the bells and whistles kind of truck. So the for the average consumer, it's not a one size fits all. So it's going to be if you want like let's say for example for someone like here in Florida where they're not really out there going rock climbing. They're probably going to go with something that's more of the street look without the crazy tires and everything in the Outer Banks edition, which is the very middle of the road. And that one kind of, if you're a Jeep follower, it's kind of what's the Sahara, which is basically it has leather, it has painted fenders, it has bigger wheels. It's not really meant for the big trails. It's meant to be a good off-roader. But more of a street off-roader, like a city truck. But then on either side of it, you're going to have either slightly less expensive, less sophisticated trim levels that maybe people are going to buy, spend a little bit less at the dealership, but then spend money in the OEM and make it their own. Like instead of paying for the really expensive one and having it come with these wheels, they already know that they're going to put their own aftermarket wheels. They're going to put their own aftermarket tires. They're going to swap the suspension out. So they might go with something a little bit cheaper, like the Big Ben or the Black Diamond, as opposed to the Mac Daddy ones, which is like the Badlands and the Wild Track, which already come with a lot of stuff from the factory. You're going to be spending double the money if you modify it because you're going to come with a lot of cool stuff, and then you're going to probably swap it out for other stuff.
That's a great point. And I did notice that even Ford is bragging about the number of accessories you can buy directly from them, right? So, I mean, Ford is aware there's this huge aftermarket world for juicing these vehicles up. And looks like they're trying to tap into making some money on that themselves this time around.
Right. And if we have a first-time buyer listening on this episode, what I would recommend is when you go out and you look at these packages, try to find the things that are important to you that you cannot do in the aftermarket. So if you're buying an off-road vehicle, for example, there's some that are going to come with, better suspension or better, wheels. Those are relatively easy things that most shops can swap out for you later on. But there's some that will come with off-road goodies that you're probably not going to be able to have cheaply done. It's going to take some surgery for a shop to do. And so what I would recommend is look through these options and look at those things that are really important, because with so many OEM options, try to opt for the things that are not easy to do to come from the factory. That way you have your warranty. And then for those other things, you can swap out. So if you get a Badlands, for example, and you don't really like the wheels too much, don't worry about it. You could probably sell those wheels to somebody that has a base, and then you can buy your own with the extra money.
That is such great advice. Next time I buy an SUV or a truck, I'm totally calling you. So any other cool features that we should know about that are coming with this Bronco?
Two big things. And I'll say this as a Jeep owner. So the first thing is that if you want to have the doors towing around with you, so like let's say, for example, you decide, oh, man, I like the look of this. I want to be able to take the doors off. So one cool thing that Ford did, if you have the four-door, specifically the four-door, the rear trunk area has enough room for you to be able to take the doors out, put them in the back, and so, like, if you're out cruising around and you're in this erratic weather, let's say that you know you're going to have great weather in the morning, you're out at the beach or wherever, and you want to have your doors off, they go in the back. Awesome. And then if you're all of a sudden, you know, rain's about to come last second, like it does here in Florida, and oh man, where are my doors? Well, you just have them in the back. So you just pull them back home and you put them back on. On a Jeep, that's not doable. And so Ford definitely did a good job on a Jeep. Those doors have to stay in the garage. So if I go somewhere without doors, I'm committed. Like it's one of those things where this is a cool feature of the four-door Bronco that you can stow your doors in the back of the Bronco.
That sounds amazing, because if you're going to head out for 8 or 10 hours and you're really going to hit some trails or whatever it is you might be doing, how nice is it to have those along for the ride with you?
Yep. And the last one that's really noteworthy is that when you do remove those doors, the mirror, the side mirrors actually stay on the body. And that's a bit, I learned that the hard way with my Gladiator. I thought I was cool camping near my house, with the camper, and I left my doors in the garage, during the weekend. And when I had to pull the camper back home, I was doing it without doors. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be so cool. I'm pulling my camper. It's only a 10-minute drive. I'm pulling my camper without doors. That's sweet. And then I go to hitch up, and I'm like, oh, crap. I don't have my side mirrors. What am I going to do? And so with the Bronco, that's not a problem, because Ford engineers knew that that's a limitation. If you have Jeep and you take the doors off, you definitely have to go to the aftermarket to put some side mirrors on there so you can have mirrors while you're driving. With Ford, you don't need to do that. So the mirrors are actually part of the chassis. So when you take the doors off, you're only taking the door, not the door and mirror.
So competition is good for everybody. Competition makes companies innovate. And you see Ford kind of one-upping Jeep on a couple design features. That puts some pressure back on Jeep for next time they do a redesign. I mean, I think it's incredibly welcome to have the Bronco in this space for somebody that cares about these types of vehicles. Now, we're going to come back in a second, and we're going to talk about towing and payload. Like, what can these things tow in terms of an RV? And Johan's going to break that down for us. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Blackstone. Blackstone is the original outdoor griddle. With millions of Blackstones sold, they are changing the way that America cooks outdoors. Blackstone lets you cook everything you can cook on a traditional grill and 1,000 things you can't. Do you want an incredible breakfast? How about lunch or dinner? The solid steel flat top infuses the flavors, and you've got enough surface to cook for the hungriest army. Pick the size and style that is perfect for you. Maybe you could get the 17-inch or the 22-inch, and they'd fit right in the back of that Ford Bronco. Because there's a Blackstone for everybody. If it's not a Blackstone, it's not a griddle. Cook anything, anytime, anywhere. Head on over to blackstoneproducts.com to see their complete lineup of griddles and accessories. So, Johan, when Ford first started releasing the numbers for towing and payload, it seemed like some people were maybe a little disappointed. So first of all, do you think that's true? And do you think that just wasn't really understanding what type of vehicle this was to think that it was going to have higher tow capacities?
Right. I think it was a little bit of wishful thinking. Where the Bronco loses a little bit is that Ford has the Ranger, And on the other side of the equation, where Jeep, they did not have a truck, and even Dodge Chrysler does not have a midsize truck. So for Jeep, for example, making the Gladiator made sense because they went back into the midsize segment and compete, where with Ford and the Bronco, it's competing with the Ranger, if you think about it from a midsize perspective. And so it is a little disappointing if you would like to have all the things, but it also makes sense from the perspective that if you target a four-door SUV or a two-door SUV in the midsize, they don't tow that much. I mean, that's just reality. They just don't tow that much. And so this kind of does fall in line with that. And particularly off-road vehicles tend to have lower towing capacity too. So, you know, while it might be a midsize SUV or other midsize SUVs tow in the 5,000 range, this one only towing 3,500 kind of makes sense based on its really make off-road prowess.
And it's competing against that Jeep, right? I mean, it just does kind of make sense. Now, all that being said, let's not go negative here. I mean, this can tow some small, light RVs. And the type of person that might buy a Ford Bronco is probably not going to be a family of five that is towing a hybrid or an ultralight travel trailer. Might be somebody that's really towing something like a Taxa or an Overland camper. So give us some basic details on what this thing can tow.
So the regular Ford Bronco, the two-door and the four-door, they both have the same towing capacity of 3,500 pounds. Where they differ a little bit is the four-door, even though it's heavier, it actually has better payload. So the payload, the rated payload, so this is, you know, they're probably going to be slightly different depending on trim level. But right now what Ford has put out is the four-door is going to be around 1370. And the two-door is going to be around 1170, which is perfectly in line. The four-door is actually has a little bit more payload than a four-door Jeep. The two-door has around the same amount of payload as a Jeep. So 1,300 pounds for a four-door payload is perfectly in line with everything that, you know, as car manufacturers go. That's pretty good. And to be honest, I mean, if I was buying this, I probably wouldn't look at a camper that bigger than 3,000 pounds anyways. So when you think about the amount of tongue weight that some of these campers would come with, it's perfectly adequate.
I just think that the type of lifestyle vehicle this Ford Bronco is would lend itself to somebody with a pop-up camper, somebody with a teardrop, somebody with a tiger moth or a cricket or something like that. I mean, I think it matches really nicely with a really small, light camper. I mean, to your point before, go ahead.
A Patriot Campers X1H, that's like $50,000, and it's perfect and it's awesome, and it would go well with an orange two-door for that beach camp. Sorry.
That sounds good to me. I mean, this is an off-road adventure vehicle, and it's going to appeal to that crowd that maybe wants some of these kind of cutting-edge and unique RVs that are really meant more for one person or for two people that are getting out there, basically. What else do we need to know, or do we want to talk about your dream build?
So one final thing is if you're an RVer listening to this and you have a motorhome, know that you're going to be able to tow this behind your motorhome. There was questions around that. The chief engineer actually came out and stated for sure that you can. And it's in the Ford literature that you can. So the only thing is like with any 4x4, you just have to put the transfer case in neutral when you flat tow it. So I think it's important. If you have a motorhome, you can also own a Ford Bronco. Awesome.
That opens it up to a whole world of RV owners, actually. I mean, you know, it has its limitations towing something, but it can be towed by many things. And I can certainly see a lot of Class A owners that want something sporty and fun. I mean, oh my God, like picture bringing a Winnebago Class A or a Jayco motorhome or a Newmar, you know, out to our national parks, and then you're dropping your Ford Bronco and having that to explore. Couldn't be a better match in my mind. So love the fact.
Yeah, use that Ford Bronco, take the doors off, and you're good.
Oh, it sounds dreamy. So tell us about your build. What would you pick if you were going to get one?
So So if it was just me and my wife, I'd definitely go with the two door. But you know, if I were to splurge now in my with you know with the family, I'd go with the four door. With the Badlands package is the second highest. So from the top, it's not the most expensive. It's the one right before it. It just has a lot of good goodies. But I'd go with the four door because it has higher payload. And then I can also store the doors in the back. I think that's a big deal. And then they're going to come out with different packages. One thing we didn't mention is that if you're an off-roader, there's this Sasquatch package that can be added to all of them, and it's going to come with a lot of cool stuff. But the downside is that it automatically takes a manual transmission out. So mine would have to be a four-door manual, not Sasquatch.
Gotcha. Now, what color would you pick?
I would definitely let my wife pick because I got to pick the Gladiator. I went with the Stingray Gray. And so if I had to bet some money, she would probably get with the Cyber Orange.
I love the color names too. Cyber Orange, Area 51, Alto Blue, Shadow Black, Rapid Red, Cactus Gray, Iconic Silver, Kodiak Brown, Oxford White, and Carbonized Gray. And I got to say, I love that Cyber Orange and I love that Kodiak Brown, man. Put one of those in my driveway for sure. All right, we're going to come back in a second. And I did not tell Johan we were doing this, but we're going to do a little trivia. I'm going to put Johan on the hot seat. I'm going to do some trivia about the original Ford Bronco. And Johan, don't sweat too much. The questions are not that hard. But before we come back, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. There are a few lessons that RVers learn quickly. Things aren't always easy. There's always some work to be done and a helping hand to be shared. A little dirt never hurt, and the forecast doesn't always cooperate. But the most important thing that RVers ever learn is that a bit of resilience goes a long way. Let's lead the charge back together. RVers were built for this. Jayco was built for this. To find out more, visit jayco.com/builtforthis for comeback-related news and advice and some of my blog posts that I've been writing for Jayco. Johan, I hope you're not mad at me for doing this. I got six questions for you, six trivia questions about the original Ford Bronco. I'm going to start somewhat easy, and we'll get maybe a little bit harder here, okay? Question one. What year was the original Ford Bronco launched?
Oh, man. I'm going to guess mid-60s, just because I think that's when they came out with the one that looks like the Scout.
1966. I'm gonna count that as a correct answer, okay? I'm taking it easy on you here.
I'm not a Ford purist, so these are hard.
Got another easy one for you, then we'll get a little tougher. Multiple choice here, which my students always loved. So what clothing company had a special Bronco edition? And again, we're talking about the original Bronco. Was it L.L. Bean, Cabela's, Eddie Bauer, or The Gap?
I'm going to guess Eddie Bauer because I know for sure there's the Eddie Bauer Explorer and the Eddie Bauer Expedition. So I'm going to guess Eddie Bauer.
Johan's 2 for 2. Question 3. This is just true or false. In the mid-70s, was there a Denver Broncos edition of the Ford Bronco? Is that true or is that false?
I think it's true. My family here in the United States, when I moved with them, they're a big Denver Broncos fans. And I like to think that there was one that has the Bronco tire cover in the back.
Ding, ding, ding. 3 for 3. I'm impressed. Question 4. Again, we're going to do true or false. Was the creator of the Mustang, Donald Fry, was he also the creator of the Bronco? True or false? True, he was. False, he was not.
I have no idea, but I'm going to guess yes. Based on how successful the Mustang was, he probably had a lot of clout with Ford to come out with the Bronco.
4 for 4. And honestly, I read a little bit about this, and you're kind of right. The Mustang was a huge hit. They wanted a huge hit in the off-road territory, and they basically hired the same guy to create it. So your instincts are astonishing.
Nice.
Okay. Question 5. A little bit tougher. What year was the famous O.J. Simpson car race with the white Ford Bronco?
That's easy. I was 13 years old, so it's got to be 1993.
94. I was a senior in high school. You're so close. 94. No. All right.
Okay.
Last question. You have a chance to go 5 for 6. What All right. year did Ford cease production of the original Bronco? And I'm going to give you multiple choice. Did they stop making them in 86, 96, 2000, or 2006?
I'm going to guess 96 because I used to love my grandmother had a Bronco too. My wife's dad had, we call it the Puerto Rican prom truck. It was also a mid-90s Bronco too. And the Ford Bronco, the OJ style one, is so awesome. And that was also like, I'm going to guess 96.
You're right. 5 for 6. I'm impressed. When I was in high school, I don't know if you were the same way. When I was in high school, I wanted a Bronco so badly, and I never got one. I feel
To me, it would be so cool if the Ford at some point releases like a special edition that had the VA with a manual. Just because that the mid-90s Bronco that was kind of on the F-150 platform, that was sweet.
And people, it's big money now, people that restore them and sell them. I mean, obviously you could go get one from the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s and do it up yourself or have somebody do it. I mean, those are hot commodities right now. Johan, thank you so much. And I think that, you know, once we can both test drive this thing, it might be fun to have you back on the show and talk about it again. Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And blessings for a speedy recovery.
Thank you so much. Thanks All right. for having me.
Yeah, anytime, man. It was fun. We'll see you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.